We are officially recording, so whenever you're ready, you can make your statement.
Okay, the following views are my personal thoughts and feelings and should in no way be considered the position of the City of College Station or any city council member. In this statement, I am not speaking on behalf of the City of College Station, but solely as Jana McMillan, an individual.
All right. I just wanted to do some statements that you made in your initial press release and then some of the answers to the follow-up questions submitted by the Eagle. I just wanted to cover some of those things. You make the statement that you say, I was elected to the council. This is in your initial press release. I was elected to the council a little over a month ago, and the manner in which the council functions has been a real eye-opener to me. Could you elaborate on that? How does the council function?
Well, first of all, I started doing my research immediately, and I have surveyed a lot of different situations in the community, and then I have had some interviews with the city. I've done some extensive reading and extensive emailing to find out, you know, what my rights as a council person are and to protect myself legally and to make sure I was within the ethics codes of the city, which that was a mistake in itself because I was not provided with adequate information regarding my position from the get-go, so that put me in a little unwise position. I felt that, you know, the orientation process needs a huge amount of tweaking so that they can get the lawful facts rather than conceived notions. That in itself was a kind of an upset for me and me personally.
Okay, but how does that has to do more with the orientation? How does the council itself function? Because you say
that's the whole part of the package. You know, in order to make adequate decisions, you need to spend a lot of time researching the whole picture. And of course, since I wasn't involved in years past, my picture, I had to work a lot harder to get one. But I think that a lot of the stuff that comes out in the city council meetings is not nearly enough information to make an adequate judgment on how to make a decision. And all I'm asking for is that we are provided more information and more understanding of the situation and making sure that everything that is done is protects the city from the standpoint of, you know, we've had a history of lawsuits, making sure that we have thoroughly researched that information instead of maybe just a thumbnail vision of what's going on with the, you know, possibility of lawsuits with the different people involved in certain situations. You know, it's just a matter of being a better steward of our decision-making process and having more information and more more transparency in the government.
In your press release, you referenced two, as you call them, contentious decisions, one being the Wolfpin Creek Water Project and then the Welborn Annexation. You don't mention the Wolfpin Creek Water Project again, so I do want to give you the opportunity and ask you, what is it about that water project that bothers you?
Well, my research indicates that there is a possibility that the landowner involved, based on documentation I received through the open records information and correspondence with other people involved, that may not be the end of the lawsuits if things are not handled properly. And my understanding and it can be checked out in the open meetings records transcribed by the city secretary, that the questions were asked by two councilmen, Fields and Lyles, regarding is this going to solve the problem if we build the fountain, when in fact that was not the information that I received based on letters of documentation to the city and documentation verbal information I received from the landowner participant. I'm not saying that anything has been done wrong. I'm just really highly questioning if all the information was out there I wonder if the vote would have gone differently if the council people had a little bit more information available to them to make that decision.
Okay. Moving on to the Welborn annexation issue, you go on to say, you say that regarding the Wolfpin Water Project and then the Welborn annexation, you say both are being done, quoting here, both are being done, that you believe both are being done by breaking promises made to the individuals involved. Can you elaborate on that? How is the city breaking promises?
Well, I cannot vouch for the validity or the honesty of the participant landowner in the Wolfpin fountain situation, because I don't know the man. I can only tell you that he indicated things that stirred up questions in my mind about his broken promises, and that, you know, I just like more research brought it forth to avoid, if once we get that fountain underway, are we going to have him slapping another lawsuit on us? That's my question. I don't know if it's going to happen that way. I don't know if it's truth. I just say, you know, let's stop and think and evaluate what we're doing. Secondly, and regarding the Welborn people, is I feel like that there's always the opportunity to seek arbitration and be able to work something out in a non-litigation way to possibly reach a win-win situation. And that was discussed heavily, but it doesn't appear that much was done about it. And I feel like that the fast-tracking the situation to avoid, you know, any possible changes, and this was not something I conceived. It was mentioned, and it's on the open meetings recorded by the city secretary and stated by the city manager that they wanted to get this done before the 2011 legislature might change the possibility of doing it, which they, I guess, consider that a plus. You know, I feel like that's kind of, you know, this has been talked about for a really long time. Why not give them a little more time and talk a little bit longer and see if there's a happy medium to be reached?
It's not unusual for council members to come out and express in opinions individually, and as we might say, as one member of council or as one person. But the move that you've taken to sign three of the five recall petitions is really seems to be unprecedented. And you say that is why I support and have signed three of the recall petitions. How is your action signing those three recall petitions in the city's best interest?
Well, I also said on my press release that probably wasn't printed anywhere that, you know, this situation just kind of blossomed. It wouldn't be what I would consider an ideal situation, but I feel like it's not personal against the council people. It's just business. When you get, you know, for instance, if you get a dog that's already angry and corner him, then what is he going to do? He protects himself. He reacts and protects himself. I think it's short-sighted to assume that the Welborn people, because of their love for their property and their individual property rights, would not react similarly. You know, I think it's easy to understand that they, you know, they have to find something that's quick and works in their best interest. And, you know, it's a matter of, you know, slowing down the process and trying to stop the process rather than go forward. I'm not saying that it's the best avenue of attack and the one that I would necessarily have chosen. It's just that was a situation that arose.
So,
and it was a way of making a statement and getting attention to the cause, I guess you'd say, of slowing the process down.
So, but then why do you, as a member of council, why do you feel the need to inject yourself into that situation? It seems to be one thing if the Welborn folks want to solicit those signatures from citizens, but for a member of council to do it, why did you feel the need to inject yourself into that?
Well, I think I can honestly say that very few people that run that are involved in the political arena stand up for most of their beliefs and campaign promises. People that know me know that I am, my fight is for the freedom and the ability of our country to remain a republic, not a state entity, but a republic. And, you know, this is just at the ground level, stopping an attack on the republic. And, you know, I am a proponent of, you know, the citizens, and there's things that have been done that are harmful to the citizens that make life hard, especially in this economic climate, which, you know, with a almost $15 trillion national debt, our city could be amongst those that becomes an indebted city, and we are headed, you know, in that road. We have to be accountable for everything we do and every penny we spend, and that's been my my passion for quite some time. And you know, I'm not dug in with any group. I just stand on my principles, and you know, I have said to people that I would bite the bullet, that I sat around for 40 years and let the debt grow and let the country come in this situation and never spoke out. So here I am. I'm speaking out for the rights of the republic at the, you know, the most basic level of our society.
In your follow-up, in the follow-up questions submitted to you by the Eagle, in your answers to those questions, you say that this is quoting here, I don't think people, and this, by the way, is referencing something that you had just mentioned about how the situation blossomed. Quoting here, I don't think people that disagree with me or I, them, should be gone. It just happens that a situation blossomed that might have those consequences, end quote. How is making that statement not a contradiction to your signing those petitions?
Well, it's just getting a word out there that, you know, this is not the right thing to do. Again, it's not personal. It's just business.
How would you respond then to if it would seem that because you have here a group of residents in the Welborn community who are not voting citizens in the city of College Station, how is it not putting their interests above those who elected you to College Station City Council?
Well, that's pretty easy answer. You know, I asked the question, you know, I'm not asking for, you know, something within $50,000. I'm asking for a ballpark figure. How much is this going to cost the city to bring them in? Because I don't know if we can afford it. And the answer was we don't do it that way. We wait until, you know, we've started the process and then we, you know, do a study. Well, you know, I guess an analogy that works for me in my little mind is that, you know, if you're a real estate agent and I want to buy a house, I consider, you know, if I'm going to buy a house, there's no point in looking at the $2.5 million ones because I can't afford it. But I can say I can afford $250,000, and you can say, okay, I've got something that works with that. Well, to me, it's the same thing. If this process is so expensive that we can't do it, then we shouldn't have moved forward on something that we knew. I mean, basically, it was almost like we're picking a fight with the Welborn people and initiating the process. And to me, it's short-sighted not to consider, you know, what are the consequences of our action? How are these people going to react? What would I do if I were in the same situation? And again, you know, I think negotiations before bringing it for a vote should have been extended.
You say also in your follow up from the Eagle, you make the statement that if we want prosperity in the city, we need to make some changes. And you go on and you follow that up by saying, lastly, there appears to me to be political nepotism within the prominent city committees, which provides a medium of one-sided goals and lack of fresh creativity in solutions. Can you first of all elaborate on what you perceive to be political nepotism?
Well, an example would be a new committee forming, utilizing people that have already either been on council or have already been involved in a lot of committees in the past. You know, my example for myself that would share with you is I was the second class of Citizens University, and I applied for committees, and I thought because I was a graduate, I would immediately be put on some committee. And I was not put on any committee, and I was willing to serve. And so when people say, well, these are the only people they're willing to serve, well, that may not be true. We have an influx of new people. I block walked and hit so many homes and talked to so many people when I was campaigning that I heard people say, you know, I lived in this city, and I would like to participate, and I want to urge them to participate and bring their ideas of things they've seen that were better or as good or at least different into the city. But, you know, and some of those people actually did apply, and, you know, by and large, they either got assigned to some small committee that, you know, maybe they'll be able to work their way up through the system, I don't know, to get a different selection. But, you know, I just say, you know, we all bring different things to the table. Why not bring in new people and put them in some key positions and just give them a try and see what they do, rather than, you know, continually suggesting for economic development or whatever that we use the same people that we've used in the past.
All right, Mrs. McMillan, that's all my questions. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I hope that things go well with the city. I would like to clarify that I do not believe that, you know, all five should be removed by any wild stretch, because we do have to continue to conduct business in the city. And, you know, I don't know what will happen, but, you know, I hope that, you know, getting people's attention will make them more alert and that they will become more involved in city government as citizens.